Years ago, I did some work for one of the largest accounting firms on how trust in business could be restored. This was after a whole series of corporate disasters that had, according to the headlines of the day, shredded public trust in the global companies concerned. We had innumerable meetings, hours of very serious discussion, and I wrote it up as a report. And what were the conclusions? Greater transparency and openness would lead, it was hoped, to greater understanding. And where are we today? Not much further along. The particular corporate disasters that had everyone so agitated at the time have been largely forgotten. And I suspect that the problem is that the solutions as to the issue of trust are abstract, and so no one can pin down the specifics of what might help. I was at a discussion the other day with Rachel Botsman, who has written a useful book called Who Can You Trust? And Andy Haldane, the ever-thoughtful chief economist at the Bank of England. And it became clear that, as ever, there was much to talk about, yet no likely solutions. But one thing that has changed since the report that I wrote is the overwhelming way that social media now dominates the public space. The massive information that the public now deals with comes from their mates and people like them, rather than from those people who are now derided as experts. Rachel Botsman made the point at the outset that polls show that people trust the opinion of a stranger on a bus more than an economist, for example. And they were more likely to trust David Attenborough, revered maker of nature films, than either. Trust, she suggested, now flows sideways amongst neighbours and colleagues rather than upwards, as it used to experts. But if that is so, then inevitably trust will be strained. I could have a lovely chat with my local neighbours about the economy, but fine and expert people though they are in their own fields, they have even less of an idea about the economy than I do. We will have had a cheerful and friendship-bonding chat, but we'll be none the wiser. Haldane reckoned that the trust deficit might be structural, and in part due to the financial crisis. Though if that is so, then we are dealing with nothing new. My forebears are obviously no longer around, but I imagine they probably didn't think much of the judgment of bankers and experts back in the days of the Great Crash and Economic Depression in the 1920s and 1930s. And Haldane made the point that 50 years ago, the sole communication made by the Bank of England was one annual speech made by the Governor to around 200 people at the Mansion House, an audience of mostly men and bankers. He contrasted this with today. He had arrived armed with some statistics. Last year, the bank published some 4.5 million words, though, as he said, 95% of those words would have been inaccessible to 95% of the general public. This, it seems to me, is one of the problems. The collapse in trust, or whatever it is all blamed on, or down to, someone else's fault. And despite the bank's huge and heartfelt efforts at getting the messages across, as Haldane said, out there, half of the people think we are politicians, and half of them think we are bastards. For ordinary members of the public, that casual view is perhaps an easier route than actually trying to understand. And in any case, transparency can sometimes be disastrous. Haldane made the point that had the bank been open and transparent as the financial crisis started to unfold and accelerate, it would have only made the crisis much, much worse. Any conclusions from the discussion were back to the abstract. Recreating institutions and reforming them to become more transparent was probably, they thought, the way forward. All this may come too late for the Financial Reporting Council, which has also been lambasted recently, as it announced that it would wind up various formal inquiries into auditors' reports on banks during the financial crisis on the grounds that legally they were not likely, on the evidence available, to come up with adverse findings. This enabled the Times newspaper to thunder that the question was now whether the FRC is really a regulator or basically an accountant's retirement home. I suspect the ordinary person on the street or on the bus has no clue either.